Chapter 7. The lack of sustained interest which the big male wolf had displayed toward me was encouraging enough to tempt me to visit the den again the next morning. But this time, instead of the shotgun and the hatchet, I still retained the rifle, pistol, and hunting knife. I carried a high-powered periscopic telescope and a tripod in which to mount it. It was a fine, sunny morning with enough breeze to keep the mosquito vanguard down. When I reached the bay where the Esker was, I chose a prominent knoll of rock some 400 yards from the den, behind which I could set up my telescope so that its objective lenses peered over the crest but left me in hiding. Using consummate fieldcraft, I approached the chosen observation point in such a manner that the wolves could not possibly have seen me, and since the wind was from them to me, I was assured that they would have had no suspicion of my arrival. When all was in order, I focused the telescope. But to my chagrin, I could see no wolves. The magnification of the instrument was such that I could almost distinguish the individual grains of sand in the esker. Yet, though I searched every inch of it for a distance of a mile on each side of the den, I could find no indication that wolves were about or had ever been about. By noon, I had a bad case of eye strain and a worse one of cramps, and I had almost concluded that my hypothesis of the previous day was grievously at fault, and that the den was just a fortuitous hole in the sand. This was discouraging, for it had begun to dawn on me that all of the intricate study plans and schedules which I had drawn up were not going to be of much use without a great deal of cooperation on the part of the wolves. In country as open and as vast as this one was, the prospects of getting within visual range of a wolf, except by the luckiest of accidents, and I'd already had more than my ration of these, were negligible.